Praise the Lord, church. How many of you are feeling it in the house this morning? I'm feeling the power and the presence and the glory of a supernatural God. Yes. I tell you, it has been a great weekend so far. I want to thank all of you that were here yesterday. It was an incredible day yesterday. My wife and I feel very humbled, very blessed. It's just great to serve such a great congregation. I want to thank once again all of the family and the friends and so many people that put forth so much effort on our parts. And I'm very, very grateful to all of our staff. There's so many names to mention. I won't take it all the time right now, but thank you so very much. Yesterday was kind of a focus on, I guess if you could say, my wife and I, as far as being officially installed as a pastor, senior pastor here at Calvary Gospel Church. But we can't do this without our Aarons, our Joshuas, our Hers, without our support ministry team. And today we want to take and honor those men and those women, and I'm so very appreciative that they are here holding up our hands, holding up our arms, and helping us in ministry. This is a team effort. It's not any Jesus when he came, God himself in the flesh came to earth, realized that he could not do this just by himself. And he selected 12 men. I'm so thankful for the leadership and for the men that we have here at Calvary Gospel Church in leadership. And this is a special service for them. This evening will be a special service for all of our licensed ministers as well as our leadership ministry team. So if you're here in our leadership, you have to be here tonight. So, I'm just so thankful. It is such an honor today to have Brother and Sister Parker from La Crosse here today. They're such down-to-earth people. I remember the first time that we had met them, they came here as missionaries. The country of Okinawa. They were Asian missionaries. I believe you served the whole South Pacific, if I'm not mistaken, at the time, kind of that whole region. And my dad was not able to go out to dinner with them, and he called me up here at church and said, we have some missionaries in town. Take them out to dinner. I'm like, I have no idea who Rufus and Pam Parker are. I've never met them before. It's not my responsibility is what I felt at the time. I'm just student ministries. I'm Sunday school guy. And I said, I have no idea. I'm nervous. I grabbed Brother John Rivest and said, we're going to lunch with the missionaries. We went over to Tumbleweed. I don't know if you remember that or not. And from then on, it was just like something clicked. And I had no idea that years later, you would be in La Crosse, us here in Madison. But it's a great honor and it's a great privilege to introduce to you Brother Rufus Parker as our special speaker this morning. Brother Parker. This man is one of the greatest preachers in Pentecost, and I mean that. Preach to us, brother.
Come on, let's clap to the Lord this morning. He's worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of all the honor and glory that can be given unto him. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah! For he's worthy. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, come stay with us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I love what I feel this morning in this temple. As Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings, and I see glory on each face. But surely, the Lord is in this place. If you're here this morning, and you've never received salvation the Bible way, the Apostle Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given in the heaven of men whereby we must be saved. I will tell you, eternity is a long time to be wrong. You want to be right. And that same Apostle Peter, when they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And they that gladly received his word was baptized, and they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. Amen. That's the way. No other way. Praise God. So good to be here. Thank you, honoring Bishop and Sister Grant. Amen. We truly appreciate you and love you, sir. And to now the senior pastor and my dear friend, Brother Roy and Sister Lois. Amen. And to all the ministry and to everyone that's here this morning. What a great day. I guess that's why the psalmist said, this is the day the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we're so excited to be here with you. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to go to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 1. While you're standing this morning. And the Bible says, and Jesus. Anytime the Bible says, and Jesus, it's calling your attention to prepare for what is getting ready to happen. It is calling your attention to take notice, because something is getting ready to be unfolded that's going to either build your character, it's going to build your walk, it's going to be something that's going to pick you up out of the muck and the mire that you may have found yourself in. So it's calling you to take notice. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that this stone, that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And I would like to talk to you this morning from this thought. When heaven meets hell at the weak point. When heaven meets hell at the weak point. Pray with me. Father, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, God, we're asking you, Lord, to touch us again today. We need you right now, God, in this temple, Lord Jesus. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive your word this morning, God. And we will give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise and all the thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Amen. When heaven meets hell at the weak point, turn to someone and say to them, you are heaven. You see, the Bible lets us know, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be as he is, for we shall see him as he is. Paul lets us know that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. With the Spirit of God inside of you, it makes you a product of heaven. So there's going to be a time that the devil is going to come to you and to tempt you, to try to get you to do wrong, and to draw you away from the things that God is asking of you and I to do. Therefore, there must be a commitment to the things of God if we're going to stand firm and stand fast in the things of God. Amen. You see, Jesus is giving us an example here of how to defeat the enemy of our soul. If you notice, when the devil began to tempt Jesus, Jesus constantly came back with him with the word of God. You see, this is why it's important that you hide the word of God in your heart. Amen. And learn how to stand on the word of God. John gives us a glimpse into heaven, and he says that he that rideth on a white horse is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make wars. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but him himself, and he has a clothes dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh, and it dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus wants you and I to know that there is an enemy, and he's going to come against your soul, and he's going to try to tempt you and to draw you away to his ways so that you will not stay with the ways in the Word of God. Praise God. Amen. You see, there's weak points in every one of us. There's things that will cause us to want to quit and to throw in the towel and walk away. There are those weak points, amen, that if we're not careful, they can begin to grow and grow. And as a result, just when you think you have the victory, the enemy of your soul will attack you in that weak point. Jesus began to say to his disciples, and when I sent you out without purse and without scrip and without shoes, did you lack anything? And they says, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now, he says, if you've got a purse, take it with you. And if you've got a scrip, take it with you. And if you don't have a sword, he says, you sell your garments and you buy one. You see, you need the word of God. So if you do not have a Bible, let me encourage you to buy a Bible. Amen. You need the word of God because you need to be committed to the things of God. Amen. If you're going to stand in the last day, you see, you will never be able to deal with the weak point, to strengthen the weak point in your life if you don't know what the word of God says for your life. You see, the word of God is quick and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividings of under of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a thought in the intent of your heart. You see, if you're going to deal with the weak point so that it does not destroy your life, you need to fortify your life. This is why Peter tells us, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance godliness, to godliness patience, to patience to godliness and brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He says, if these things be in you in abound, you shall not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But these things will give you an entrance into the kingdom of Almighty God. Amen. You see, some people are carrying around hurts and they're carrying around bitterness, the things that has happened a long time ago, because these are weak points and you're holding on to it and you're not doing anything to get rid of those weak points out of your life. You're kind of like the man whose son kept falling into fire and kept falling in the water. And you wonder, why do I keep falling? I've got the Holy Ghost, but why do I keep falling? Why do I keep reverting back to the same old thing of wrong every time the enemy comes against me? Why do I keep falling back? You see, it's a weak point that you haven't dealt with. And the enemy of your soul knows you have that weak point. And just as soon as you think you've got the victory, he comes subtle, he comes sly, and he sneaks in. Paul says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind will be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. You see, you need the word of God. You need to put it in your heart. David says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. Job says, I have esteemed thy word more than all my necessary food. You've got to have the word of God if you're going to stand firm, if you're going to be strong when the enemy comes against you. You've got to get the word of God. Job says, I was not moved. I held to the commandments. I cling to the things of God. I hold on to the word of God. One songwriter says, when the devil comes a knocking, try to show you an easier way, you stand right flat on your feet. You throw your heads in the air. You look him straight in the eyes and you say, my foot is on the rock and my mind is made up. Amen. The weak point is going to be there, but with the word of God, you can be strong. Hallelujah. Praise God. You have got to remove that weak point. If not, the enemy will always attack you at that point. You see, your enemy is always looking for a breach. He's always looking for an opening. And usually, if you've got a weak point, you won't be committed the way that you should be committed. Amen. You see, there's got to be commitment to the Word of God. There's got to be commitment to the things of God. This is why Moses says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you must love Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength." He says, you talk about Him when you get up. You talk about Him when you're in the way, when you're sitting in your house, when you lie down, when you rise up. He says, you write it as frontless before your eyes and on your hands. Put it on your doorposts. Put it on your gateposts. There's got to be commitment to the things of Almighty God. You've got to be committed. God has got to be first in everything you do. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything that you have need of will be added unto you. You've got to be committed to God. You've got to be committed to your pastor. Hear me, leadership. You've got to be committed to, or else you will not be able to accomplish what God wants you to do. You've got to be committed to your walk with God. John says, if we say that He abides in us, then we have to walk the same way that He walked. Amen. I charge you, Paul says, Timothy, that you preach the truth, that you preach the gospel. Amen. Jesus wants you and I to know that with the Word of God, we can defeat the enemy at any point in our life. Praise God. Job says, I've clinged to your commandments. I've esteemed your word more than my necessary food. In other words, I would rather have the Word of God than a Big Mac. I'd rather have the Word of God than a good steak. See, you've got to commit to the Word of God. You see, because when you commit to the Word of God, this is where character is built. When you're committed to the Word of God, this is where loyalty comes from. When you're committed to the Word of God, this is where trustworthy get into your life. When you're committed to the Word of God, this is where justice and judgment begin to take and build into your life. When you're committed to the Word of God, this is where dependability starts to develop in your life. When you're committed to the Word of God, this is where integrity and initiative begin to take place. This is where character and courage begin to be built in your life, and endurance begin to be built in your life when you're committed to the Word of God. Righteousness begin to grow in your life when you're committed to the Word of God. Holiness takes place when you're committed to the Word of God. Nothing shall be able to defeat you when you're committed to the Word of God. Divorce will never take place if you're committed to the Word of God. You would never stop serving God if the Word and you're committed to it. You know, if you walk out of the church, I can still love you. But the devil will never let you love me back. Think about it. I can love you forever if you walk out these doors, but the devil will never let you love me back. He will always talk to you and says, it's his fault that you left. You've got to be committed to the Word of God. Paul says this gospel did not come in word only, but it came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. and it came with much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were. You see, it gives you the power to be able to stand against the opposition that comes against you, no matter what comes against you. When you have the word of God hidden inside of you, you can stand. Amen. This is why the Bible is so full of encouragement for the child of God. This is why it is called a weapon of our warfare. If not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. And we commit to the things of God. Every service will be just like it was a few minutes ago. Because a commitment to the word of God issues in worship. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, being thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth and do it to all generations. I want you to know that you are serving a mighty God. When you get into the word of God, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that he's my refuge and my fortress and my God, whom I will trust. Surely he will hide me under his feathers and cover me under his wings. I want you to know he will give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all their ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I want you to know you're serving a mighty God. There must be commitment to the things of God. Jesus Christ was giving you and I of an example. And that's why the Bible says, and Jesus, he wanted you to take notice of about what was getting ready to take place. That the enemy is going to try to come against you to prevent you from accomplishing what God wants you to do. Amen. And so the enemy begins to talk who to the children of God. If he's going to derail the train, Brother Roy, it's going to be through the children of God. He's already got the world, so he's not too concerned with them. So he knows if he could get Jesus to give in to what he was offering him, it would stop the Father's plan. But little did he fail to realize that greater is he that's within us than he that is in the world. He failed to realize that he was talking to God manifested in the flesh. Amen. And you who have been quickened, amen, from your trespasses and sins, you've got to stand firm. You see, he's going to try to come against the children of God to get you to derail the train. You see, when he could not get to Jesus, he went for the leadership. Leadership, if he can't get Brother Roy, he's coming after you. Pastors, if he can't get to you, he's coming after your leadership team. And if that leadership team is not committed, if they're not committed to God first and foremost with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, he He will get you to give in to either the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's the only three weapons He's got. And He's going to try to get you to fall to one of them. This is why, if you notice, the Bible lets us know that He entered into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus Christ. He could not get to Jesus, and so He entered into the heart of one of the leadership team. He searched through. He tried to get Simon Peter, but he failed to realize that Jesus had already told Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you're converted, you strengthen the brethren." He knew, even though he tried to get to Peter, he could not get to Peter. But he found Judas. One who was not committed to the whole thing of God. And it was Judas that he entered into his heart to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. But when Judas realized what he had done, it was too late. Judas felt at this very moment that he could not be forgiven. And so as a result, he hung himself. Satan caught him at his weak point. And that's the problem in our lives sometimes. When he hit us at our weak point and we fall and we give in, we leave the church because we think we can't be forgiven. And that's what he wants you to think, that you can never be forgiven, so that you stay away from the things of God. But I come to tell you this morning that there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. And you can be forgiven for every wrong you do other than blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. You can be forgiven. Maybe you're here this morning and you've given up. Maybe you're here this morning and the devil has hit you at a weak point. Maybe you're here this morning and the enemy has told you you'll never amount to anything for God. I come to tell you this morning, there's forgiveness. There is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. You can be forgiven this morning of any wrong you've ever done. You can be forgiven this morning and you can stand firm again on the things of Almighty God. You can be delivered this morning from any wrong you've ever done. You can be delivered this morning if things are not going right in your life. Maybe you're contemplating a divorce. I want you to know, with the word of God, it can be strong again. It can be strengthened again. Praise God. The word of God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. You know your weak point. Maybe it's anger. Is a weak point. Do you know how you overcome anger? You love people. If you have a problem with anger, all you got to do is start hugging people. The enemy knows that's a weak point in your life, and he keeps hitting you with it. But if you start reaching out to people, irregardless of race, creed, and color, and you start hugging them, and you start saying, I love you, pretty soon it will become a part of you, and that weakness will go away from you. Amen. Maybe this you've got a weakness against disrespect for authority. The enemy knows that. You know where you can start? Right here. You come to your pastor. When you see him, says, Pastor, man, thank you so much for ministering to me. Pastor, thank you so much for looking out for my soul. When you see the police on the force walking down the street, you stop them and say, Officer, I am so thankful that you are out here providing security for me. Amen. Everybody you see in authority, you just start thanking them. And pretty soon, you know what'll happen? You'll love authority figures. You'll respect authority figures. That's what you've got to do. Amen. It's not about you. It's about him. Amen. This is his way. This is what God desires of you and I to do, is to become like him in these last days. Don't let your weak point destroy you. Praise God. You can overcome these things. As there's a song that says, Lord, you're the landlord. And there's a leak in your building. And I want you to fix it. Fix it, Lord, just like you said that you would. Amen. You see, a weak point is a leak in the building, is a leak in the temple of God. And you want God to fix it just like he said he would, so that it don't destroy you. If you don't fix a leak, guess what? You're going to have a problem. But you can get it fixed this morning in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you have a leak in your building this morning? He can fix it. I want you to commit yourselves to the things of Almighty God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Son of Man did not come to destroy the world, but he come to save it. And I want you to know this morning that when heaven meets hell at the weak point, you have power. Jesus says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any mean shall harm you or hurt you. Nothing. Praise God. Let's stand this morning. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for thy word, oh Lord, this morning. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul told the church at Ephesus, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all you can do to stand, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. You've got to arm yourself. You've got to be ready for the enemy when he comes against you. There's an old saying that says, good, better, best. Never let it rest. Not until your good is better and your better is your best. Good, better, best. Never let it rest. Not until your good is better and your better is your best. What is your best this morning? Are you giving God your best? If you commit your whole life to God, then you're giving Him your best. And that's what you want, is to have your life so rooted and grounded in the Word of God that you are able to stand against anything that comes against you. So when the enemy comes a knocking, trying to show you an easier way, throw your hands in the air and begin to worship Him. Be like Job and says, I'm going to exalt God's word more than my necessary food. I'm clinging to the things of God. If you've got a weak point, you know what that weak point is. And I want to encourage you today to allow God to fix that hole in your temple. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. At this time, we're going to enter into the pastoral commitment part of the service. We want to continue in this attitude of worship. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? Praise God. We're going to ask Brother Parker to come again, and we're going to ask for Pastor Roy and Sister Lois to come down in front, and then these other pastors and their wives to line up behind them. And we're going to do a commitment ceremony as we renew our vows, if you will, to the one who saved us. Amen. Then we're going to ask these elders, Brother Parker, Bishop Grant, Brother Russell, and their wives to pray for our pastor and his wife, and then they're each going to pray for each of us as pastors of the church. So if you would come, Elder, thank you for the Word of God.
The Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and into the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In his letter to the church at Corinth, Paul wrote, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Leaders, as born again child of God, and as Paul's instructed Timothy, do you commit yourselves to be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work? Amen. Leaders, as a leader and member of the body of Christ, the church, do you commit your unique gifts and ministry to serve the Lord and His church as the Holy Spirit works through you? Leaders, as a minister of the gospel appointed by Jesus Christ as part of the fivefold ministry, do you commit yourselves to preach the word of God faithfully, to be ready in season and out of season? Leaders, as a preacher of the word of God, do you commit yourselves to convince, rebuke, and exalt with all long suffering and teachings? As pastors and teachers in the house of God, do you commit yourselves to the work of equipping the saints and edifying the body of Christ, striving always to enhance the unity of the faith in the ministry of the senior pastor? As an under-shepherd of the flock of Jesus Christ, do you commit yourselves to be watchful in all things, enduring afflictions, doing the work of an evangelist, thereby fulfilling your ministries? As a servant of the Lord, do you commit yourselves to be gentle to all, to be prepared to teach, and to be patient and humble when correcting those in opposition, so that they may know the truth? May the blessings of our Lord Jesus, the Lord and God, be upon you and your service. May His Spirit guide and anoint you. And may the strength of the body of Christ lift you up in your labor on its behalf. God bless you. We want to pray for these leaders this morning. If you would extend your hand towards them, amen, you come over here, feel, amen. Master and brother and sister Russell and Pastor Grant.